May. Earlier this month, I was just praying to God, and the Lord sort of said, go and get this little book. This is a testament. It's a J.B. Phillips testament off of the shelf. Now, this is a precious book to me. And I got it, and I opened it, and God gave me a word which I put that marker in. And that was earlier this month. I wasn't quite sure what this word was for. But let me tell you, it's just one line, and you'll see, because I want you to see it, in this little book, there are orange underlines. I'm going to tell you something. And I wasn't really aware of it until I looked back. Also in the front of this little book is some pencil writing. And it says this: the whole of this New Testament was read and marked from Monday the 5th of May 1980 to Sunday the 15th of June 1980. That is 30 years ago this very month. 30 years ago. And God gave me, 30 years ago, many messages from this little book, and they were underlined in orange. Down the years, I've occasionally ministered from this little book. Not many times, but occasionally I've ministered from some of those words that were given 30 years ago. When I picked up this book, God just directed me to one line that was underlined. And it's found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, a very well-known scripture. And this is the start today of Fenn's Faith Convention. Now, this word says, and I'm reading it from this translation, so you have to bear with me. Faith, you see, can only come from hearing the message. And the message is the word of Christ. Faith, you see, can only come from hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. And I've been thinking about that. And it wasn't more than 2 weeks ago that I read that. More than 2 weeks ago. And I was trying to think, well, what's God really saying to me? I mean, it's evident. Faith, you see, can only come from hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. And I've been thinking about it quite a lot. During this week, just brought Vivian home from work, and there was a knock at the door, and really, I really did not know this morning that Freddie was going to be in the meeting, but Freddie knocked my door in the week. I did not know, honestly, I did not know that. He's never been here on a Sunday morning, have you, Freddie? I did not know you were coming this morning, and I was going to say this, whether he was here or whether he wasn't, because that's part of what I'm talking about. But in the week, he knocked on the door, and it probably was, I've probably got him told off as well, we probably spent quite a lot of time, hours talking. I don't think he went before till after 9 o'clock at night, anyway. And, you know, while I was sitting in his van, we'd gone to get some... Well, actually, Freddie got me fish and chips. Seems like you, Frank. He got me fish and chips. And we we'd sat and had it. And then we talked about the things of God. You know, we used to talk about the things of God many times years ago. And this was a present day. We began to speak about the things of God. And Freddie was challenging me. You might not have realised it. But he was talking to me and telling me things, and God was speaking to my heart. And I came away when he finally got off, or I let him go, when he finally went, I've been thinking about what was said and seeking God. Freddie encouraged me, and this will tell you, God uses people. Freddie encouraged me, a preacher, to seek God. That's exactly what he told me to do, to seek God. That's how he left me. You seek God. And I did what he told me to do. So you don't always have to hear it from somebody who stands at the front. If you're a person of God, you speak what God gives to you to speak. Because when he spoke to me and said, seek God, that's what I've done. I've done that from the moment I came in from that van. Now Freddie doesn't know that. And I sought God. And God gave me another couple of words from this little book afterwards. And they were, and they're just three words, it's almost, they're one, two, three. One, two, three in a certain order. There's nothing else in between. There's the three orange words. And they're going to tell you what they say. And this is for me. After Sigurd. Your prayers have been heard. At the proper time. Well, you'll know that because we spoke it. Right? The Lord is with you. Now that really, really encouraged me. So I'll put this little piece of paper in. Now I won't take the orange one out because that was it. I'll put this little one in. And then I knew I was supposed to be speaking this morning. And God told me something else. He said, from now on, you're going to preach from this, the messages I gave to you 30 years ago. You're going to start the beginning and you're going to begin to preach just what I told you 30 years ago. You mean I can't carry it? Yes, you can carry that, but you're preaching from this. Because this is the New Testament by J.B. Phillips. And the reason I've got this open is because J.B. Phillips quotes an Old Testament, and this is the New Testament, so I want to read it from the Old Testament during on Sam. And God give me a word. Well, he told me to begin at the beginning, so I'm beginning at the book of Matthew. And I'm going to just look at the orange ones again. They're there. So I know exactly what God gave me 30 years ago. And I want to read to you. I'm going to read in more than just the orange words. I'm going to read to you the context in which it is. I'm reading Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through to 25. And this is a good place to start. The birth of Jesus Christ happened like this. When Mary was engaged to Joseph before their marriage, she was discovered to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Whereupon Joseph, her future husband, who was a good man and did not want to see her disgraced, planned to break off the engagement quietly. But while he was turning the matter over in his mind, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What she has conceived is conceived through the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, whom you will call Jesus, the Saviour, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. All this happened to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had told him. He married Mary, but had no intercourse with her until she had given birth to a son. Then he gave him the name Jesus. The bits that were underlined is Jesus the Saviour. You know, faith, earlier in the month, you see, can only come from hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. Jesus the Saviour. And we read here that he will save his people from their sins. Now God sent Jesus for one purpose, and that was to be the Saviour of the whole world. You know, the world was lost in sin. Adam had disobeyed God, they had broken the command of God, and down through the ages they had sinned and sinned and sinned. Mankind was sinful. The scripture says all of us have sinned and come short of the standard or the glory of God. But God loved the world so much. He loved you and he loved me. He loved the world, a world of sinners whom he had created. He loved the world. But you know, heaven has no sin in it. And the only way you and I and sinners can go to heaven is for our sin to be dealt with. But God so loved the world, he loved you and I, that he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be the Saviour. Hallelujah. And Jesus came to be the Saviour. And we started at the beginning when he was coming into the world. When he was being born into the world. As we've just read. Mary, a virgin, with a child. Jesus the Saviour. And Joseph was told to call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, God sent Jesus to accomplish what was necessary for us to go to heaven. We can't get to heaven with sin, so God sent Jesus to deal with the sin problem. That's what he sent him for. He sent him to pay the price for sin, and the price was to be crucified on a cross, to take the sins of the world upon himself, and to die for each and every one of us, so that if we will only put our trust in him, we could be forgiven of our sin, we could truly be saved. And then Jesus would be our Saviour. And we could go to heaven. And that's how much God loves us. He wants us to be in heaven with him. He doesn't want any to be lost. The scripture tells us in another part that God is not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. God loves everybody. And look at his name. Back in the Old Testament. Emmanuel. God with us. That is found in Isaiah 7 verse 14. And it says this in Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Hear the word of God. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And here it tells us that Emmanuel means God with us. And so when Jesus came, it was God coming. Hallelujah. It was God coming. It wasn't some angel. It was God himself coming in the person of his own Son to save you and I. God came to save us because he loved us. And you know, this is important because this is the beginning. This is the word of Christ. And faith can only come by hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. And in order to get to heaven, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to hear about Jesus and put our trust in Him. I want to read another little passage. I'm not going to be long. I want to read another little passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 2, still from my little book. I'm just going to read the first few verses, the first six verses. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the days when Herod was king of the province. After his birth, it came from the Easter party of astrologers, making for Jerusalem and inquiring as they went, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to pay homage to him." When King Herod heard about this, he was deeply perturbed, as indeed were all the other people living in Jerusalem. So he summoned all the Jewish chief priests and scribes together and asked them where Christ should be born. Their reply was, "In Bethlehem, in Judea. For this is what the prophet wrote about the matter. And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth the governor, which shall be shepherd of my people Israel." You know, here it tells us something. That Jesus is the King.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the King. Yeah. Oh yes, don't underestimate who Jesus is. He is the Saviour, but He is the King. And the Bible puts it more when He says He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is almighty, He is all above all. It's the name of Jesus. He is the King. And He was to be born in Bethlehem. Let me read to you from the Old Testament where that's taken. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." You know, Bethlehem was only a little town. The canon says a little town of Bethlehem. It was only a little town. But you know, God chose a little town, not a big city, not a big town, not perhaps an influential town of the day. He chose a little town. And I want to tell you that God is interested in little things, not just big things. He is interested in you and me. We may not be important in the world stage. People may not consider us to be anything at all. Some of us are probably discounted. People don't want us. They don't want anything to do with us. But you see, because God loves us, He's interested in every single person. He knows every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest in this little room today. He knows all about us. The hairs on our head are numbered. Everything we do when we go to sleep at night, when we wake up in the morning, what we do through the day, God knows us all together. And the one thing that's underlying this is that God loves us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God considers us. He chose Bethlehem. He chose the little town. And He said, "I'm going to do some great things in that little town. Because born in that little town is going to be Jesus the King. Born in that little town is going to be Jesus the King." That's why the wise men from the east, they call them astrologers in here. You know, they looked at the stars. I'm not talking about fortune telling. I'm talking about studying the planets and things like this. And these men were wise. They saw stars. They realized that God, who creates the universe, who put the stars there, that when there's something fresh and new, God was trying to show them something. And so they followed the star until they got to the place called Bethlehem. The little town The place that perhaps no one really considered. The God, the Son, Jesus, was being born in Bethlehem, and the wise men came to worship or pay homage to Jesus. It's said at Christmas on very many postcards and Christmas cards and posters, wise men came to worship Jesus, and wise men still do. You know, I didn't even know what Peter was going to do this morning. I did not know he was going to take communion afterwards. God knows. But you know, one of the things when we come together is that we want to worship God. The wise men travelled far so they could worship the Christ. And today, we will have an opportunity to be able to worship Jesus the King. But something else in that Old Testament reading says this: the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. You know, John's Gospel puts it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, who is the Word? His name is Jesus. And he's the eternal Word. That's what it says there, from everlasting. Hallelujah. He is the eternal Word. You know, Jesus preached. He said this. He said, heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will never pass away. You see, he is the eternal Word. So when God says something, he means it. And you know, he can't and won't go against his word. What he says he means. When I read that after Freddie had been, and after I'd done what I was told and sought God, God said, your prayers have been heard at the proper time. The Lord is with you. You know, God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. And sometimes, and I'm going to tell you the truth, because if I don't tell you, Freddie will know that I'm telling this because I would have said it before. Look, you know, some things that God told me about, he told me about in 1961. Now, if you can work that out, it's 49 years ago. 49 years ago. And those things are still to come to pass. And I, honestly, I would have almost given up. I'm past retirement age. I used to say to God, Lord, I believe if I don't want to reach 30, is what I said to God. I don't want to reach 30 unless these things have been fulfilled. I'm now 66. I've gone past 30, more than past another 30. And it was 30 years ago that this little book and the passages were underlined. But God's word never fails.
Hallelujah.
And God's promises never fail.
Hallelujah.
And what God says he will do, he will do.
Hallelujah.
But it's at the proper time. And the trouble with us people is we always expect it when we want it, and not when God's got it planned. And you know, sometimes we try and run ahead of God. Now it's bad if we lag behind him. It's bad if he's calling us and saying, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to accept him. No, it's not good to lag behind him. If God calls you, then you should come quickly to him. You should repent of your sin and believe on him and come to him. Because when you come to him, he will receive you. He will never turn you away, because if he's calling you, he wants you. That's important. trouble is with us as Christians is we try and run before we can walk. We try to want everything that we think, yes, and we're right. God does want us to have it. But sometimes we've got to wait for the proper time. And when we wait for the proper time, then, as it said here, the Lord is with you. So I want to encourage you today, the very first day of the Fens Faith Convention, this word that was given to you more than 2 weeks ago, faith, you see, can only come from hearing the message. And the message is the word of Christ.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. One last thing. I mean, no apologies for what I'm saying. I know God has spoken to people's hearts in here this morning. Because we've already prayed it. God does not send his word and it return to him void. It's an opportunity. If you are not yet given your heart, when you're illiterate, Peter here, the pastor, became a Christian at 5 years old. I know it was in my car and I was there. I was the only other one there as well. When he gave his heart to Jesus, it was in my car. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 11 years. I told you that was in May as well. Friday, May the 20th, 1955. 55 years ago. I was only 11. So, nobody is too young to come to Jesus. Even if you're younger than 5, or older than 11, you're not too young or too old to come to Jesus. You can come, because Jesus is calling you. And he says, follow me. Follow me. Now really, I've got to preach the truth. You don't follow the pastor, you don't follow the preacher, you don't follow the church, you don't follow the movement, you don't follow this one or that one, you follow Jesus. It's Jesus is the example, and the word of Christ is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We must give our hearts and lives to Jesus. So when you're young or old, if God is speaking to you, and I know he is, to some, if God is saying, well, look, you need to give your life to me, then you can give him here this morning. You can get right with God this morning. You can say, Jesus, I do believe that you came to save me. God loved me so much that you came to save me. And you can ask him into your heart. If you've been backslidden, and don't, look, I've been a Christian for 55 years. And I'm telling you the truth. I've been a preacher, a pastor in the church for a long time. And I'm telling you the truth. We all backslide. There is not one of us that doesn't go wrong. There isn't one of us that doesn't go astray. Don't think that preachers are any different. Sometimes they're worse than you. They're worse than you. But we can get right with God. And you can get right with God. Because God loves us. And he says, I will heal your backsliding. This is God's word. I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely. So today, there's no excuse. You can give your heart to him. You can return to him. And if you're a Christian, and you're still loving God, God can still speak to you like Freddie. God used Freddie in the week to speak to me. When I came out of that van, I knew that God had spoken to me.
Hallelujah.
I knew that God had spoken to me. Sitting in the back here, I really didn't know he was going to be here. But I was going to say it anyway. Because God had spoken. And when God speaks to you, you hear it. And we have to be obedient to
him. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You know, and when you are obedient to the word of God, something wonderful happens.
Amen.
Blessings come from heaven. Hallelujah. The blessing of God rests upon obedience. So if you, this morning, if you've never given your heart to God, I tell you, a miracle will take place in this room today. When you come to Jesus, you will be born again. You will receive new life. Your heart will be cleansed. You will be made right with God by the blood of Jesus when you open your heart to God and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Or if you've been backslidden, if you come this morning and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been away for months, years, I don't know how long. I'm feeling cold here, I want to come back today. I said, God will receive you just as he did when you first gave your heart.
Hallelujah.
Because he doesn't hold it against you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, I love you.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what, I've got five children. Nearly made a mistake then. Five children. And they don't always do good. Some of them do bad. But I tell you what, they're still my children.
Hallelujah.
And if they come and say sorry, do you think I'm not going to forgive them?
Yes.
In my heart, I've already forgiven them.
Thank you, Lord.
So when they come, I'm going to be happy and rejoice. We heard it from Pastor Pete. God rejoices over us. We sing. He gets excited over us. So today, when you come to him, he's not going to turn you away. Oh, you don't understand, brother. Yes, I do. I've been there. Been there, done it, got the t-shirt.
Oh,
I've been backslidden, done it, got the t-shirt. Thought you can't come back, thought it's all washed over, it's all finished now. Done it. Been there, got the t-shirt, but still God receives me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And still he's in my heart. And still he's standing here now with me. I know God is with me. I know God is speaking through me now. I know he's talking to your heart. Give him your heart. Come back to him. Be blessed. If you're a Christian, you still need to be blessed. I need to get in the week. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return to the Lord. Hallelujah. God loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the Saviour. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the King. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the Shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the everlasting Word. And thank you, Lord, that you're inviting us to come to you now. Amen. If you want to give your heart to God, I'm going to ask you to come and stand at the front. You want to get right with God, you've made him back, so just come and stand at the front. I know it may be difficult, but come. Come right now. Don't wait, because God's going to do a miracle in his place. This whole place is a miracle place today. God will save you, God will heal you, God will bless you. Whatever your needs are, just come to Jesus. He's here. Have one idea, because he says so. Peter said, if two of you were ready, if two of you agree as anything touching the kingdom of God, it will be done. That's what he said. That's the word of God. But Jesus said something as well. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There am I. Jesus the Saviour. Jesus the King. Emmanuel. The everlasting one. There am I. He's in this room. He's in this room. Jesus is here. So come now. Come now. Amen. When you give your heart, just come. Don't be afraid. I promise you I'm not going to cause you any embarrassment. Just come and stand at the front. From the littlest to the oldest. Doesn't matter. Just come. That's him, come. Needing a blessing, needing to seek God, come. Amen. Come. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter that we've changed the service. It doesn't matter. It matters that you and I are right with God. You know, this verse that's on the screen says, Jesus said, I, or the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, to. And then these are the words Jesus says, I am come. Now we've heard that this morning, that Jesus came. We read part of the Christmas story. Jesus came. And the reason he came is that they might have life. Jesus came to give you life. All you've got to do is receive it from him. But this verse goes on, it says that they might have it more abundantly. Now Jesus doesn't want you just to have life. You can look, if you're breathing, you've got life, but you can really not really be living the way you need to live. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. Or as one of the translation puts it, is, life in all its fullness. And that's the theme of our convention this week. Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. We've already heard this morning, and we're going to come and break bread together now, but it's important that we know that Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came, he died on the cross, as we've heard, as has been preached just this morning. So we're going to celebrate the cross. We're going to celebrate what Jesus did for us, that Jesus died, he rose again, he gave us his life. And everyone that believes on Jesus, from the youngest to the oldest, to share together in the communion. Actually, Jesus told us to do this. He didn't say do it if you feel like it, or it might be a nice thing to do every now. Actually, Jesus said, do it. To all Christians, do it. It's a command from Jesus. Do it in remembrance of me. Do it to honour me. Do it to say thank you to me. So every Christian here this morning, we invite you to share together in the bread and the wine as we minister to you. And perhaps we can share together as we have done over the last few weeks. And as the ministers of the church, we minister to you.
Thank you, Lord.
This morning. You know, the Bible tells us that it was on the same night that Jesus was betrayed. But he sat down with his disciples and he took bread from the Passover table and he broke it. Well, he gave thanks and he broke it. He told his disciples to eat this, to do it in remembrance of him. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. His body given for us. You know, the apostle writes that it was on his body, or in his body, all our sins and iniquities were laid. Jesus bore it to the cross. You know, we've been singing this morning about the cross. And now we share together. And the cup was the cup. And now we've got bread and got a cup. Let's just give thanks to the Lord and remember. With his body, with his blood. We've been ransomed, redeemed, healed, restored, forgiven, as we sang right at the beginning of that service. With his body and with his blood that Jesus gave us that life. Let's share together and partake and remember and give thanks for what Jesus has done for us. Praise you. Thank you.